Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom, and I want you to know what Jimmy just said. That Bible guide is good every day of the week, and it's good into the future because it's always up to date. It's always up to date. Where everything else in this world gets old after 36 hours, it is a wonderful guide for you every day on what to put your mind to, dwelling on what you want to dwell on instead of the world news and all the stuff that's going on right now. So you dwell on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. You think about those things. It's like when we look at Psalm 19 and we see the beginning says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It goes into what God expects of us in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord, what is that? It's the word of God. So he's even instructing you, go to the word, go to the word, go to the word. Every time there's a question or there's a conflict or even you're confused, you go to the word, and the word will bring peace. And what Kimberly is saying today, it's going to bless you that we can humble ourselves and hear from God. And after 2 weeks, Kimberly, I am so happy to hear you again.
Thank you. It's good. It's so good to be able to share what has been transpiring over the past 2 weeks. Mm. We had a group of us that our pastor had a vision to have host a group of us in the church, to live at the church. The church has a wonderful kitchen and bathrooms that have showers. They're, you know what? I actually was a little bit jealous. The showers are better than my shower at home.
Oh, that's great.
So we actually really enjoyed ourselves getting to know one another. There were 8 of us that lived at the church for 10 days.
Oh my goodness.
We had breakfast together. We did morning prayers together in the sanctuary. We listened to teachings together, teachings by Rick Renner about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We had lunch together. We would have afternoon prayers together and more devotion time. We played games together. We ate dinner together.
Now,
we had worship.
You're talking about eating. So you're having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Who fixed the breakfast? Who fixed it?
We all worked together in the kitchen.
Oh, you
and you know, that
did.
Was interesting.
Oh,
so wow. Here's what really changed my perspective on coming together and waiting on the Lord. Because when I think of the book of Acts and the way that Jesus instructed the disciples, and it wasn't just an instruction, it actually says he commanded them to go and wait for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a command.
Mm-hmm.
And he told them to go and wait for the Father to pour out his gift on them. Well, that was the vision that our pastor had, was to learn to wait like the early church waited.
You wonder what they ate during that time. Just like,
right?
I wondered what you ate. Yeah, during that time.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm just going to admit, because I don't know how many others felt this way, but in our group, others admitted, when I just brought this up, they all admitted that they thought the same thing. And maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but this is what I used to think about the command that Jesus gave to go and wait. I pictured the apostles and the others that followed him, the disciples, I pictured them in that upper room praying constantly, fasting, not eating. I pictured it a very pious time of prayer at all times. That's what I pictured. Until I had this experience of coming together with other people from our church. Mm-hmm. Some of them I didn't even know. Some of them were just merely an acquaintance to me. Others I could call friends, but we all came together. And it was the pastor's wife who did all of the meal planning, and she went and bought all the food for us for the 10 days. But she had the plans for all the meals and the recipes. And then when she brought it all in to the kitchen, we all worked together to put those recipes together, to boil things, to bake things, to stir fry things, we just all cooked together. And then we washed all the dishes and cleaned up the kitchen. It's a fairly large kitchen. And we also invited any of our mates to join us. So if some of us were there just by ourselves and we didn't have our husbands or wives with us, they were invited. So we were making food for at least 15 to 20 people every night.
That's great. Wow. What an experience. I mean,
it was an amazing experience. And all of us came away realizing that as we wait on the Lord, we learn patience with each other. We figure out that we all have a different way of cooking, a different way of stirring things, a different idea of what bowl it might go in. We have a different way of washing the dishes. Mm-hmm. We all have different ways. And none of us ever felt a need to push our own way on another. We all just quietly observed and just fell right into step with whoever had made it to that bowl first or that kitchen sink first. You know, we just fell right in step with them and just did it their way. Mm-hmm. That is a miracle.
That's cooperation.
Well, and cooperation is a miracle.
It's a miracle, yes, when you've got those people, yes.
When you have so many different ideas and different influences and you realize everybody's just falling in step to coordinate and to cooperate, it was like the most beautiful dance that you could ever be invited to. Mm-hmm. And it was working out so peacefully, full of joy. And we enjoyed the word of God the most. Mm-hmm. We played games only one night. And that one night we only played for about a half an hour. And then we started talking about the word again.
Oh, so that's great.
None of us really wanted to be distracted from the word of God. Mm. And that was another miracle, right?
Yes.
It's miraculous to stay focused enough to stay with the word of God. And I love how you opened up this program, Mom, because you're just focusing on the word, knowing that any other news we get in this world is going to be false in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But the word of God
is always new.
True.
That's right.
True.
Yes.
Mm.
And that's why our verse this week, Psalm 66, verse 1 through 3, says, "Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome. How awesome are your works, Lord. How awesome are you." And I think you experienced that. I believe you did. Now, I wanted to ask, how many of those seven, did you say, were male, and how many were female?
So we ended up with eight.
Okay.
In the end, we did start with seven, and then we ended up with eight. And of the seven, three were male and four were female. But then the eighth one that joined us was also male. So it was four female and four male.
Four male. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the only married couple was the pastor and his wife. The rest of us are married, but our mates did not live at the church with us. They kind of held down the fort at our own homes.
Yep. I can understand that. And that is in itself is really a blessing, because that's giving in of those spouses. That's them in agreement with you being at the church. It's also, I will take care of the things in the house. Wow. That's amazing, Kimberly.
a miracle again.
Agreement,
right?
Agreement, so, yes.
Oh. Agreement is a miracle.
It is, it is. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Especially when the spouses that stay at home and hold down the fort, as you say, they are being responsible for the children and for everything that's going on. Wow.
Right.
And so that's extra duties for them, as well as if they're working jobs outside of the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, oh,
yeah.
Praise God.
We experienced miracles during this time together. And I know that those miracles were happening because we were all practicing humbling ourselves. Mm. As we humbled ourselves and just let someone else do something their way, lead their way, pray their way, you know, even call us. We didn't want to stick to a strict schedule. Mm-hmm. We wanted Holy Spirit to just lead us and guide us.
Yes.
And none of us knew exactly what to expect when we first entered into this, but on the second day, it was only the second day of the 10-day stay at the church that someone opened up and just said, okay, I am struggling in this area, and I want you all to be my family, and I want you all to pray with me. Mm. That someone was me, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I just made myself really vulnerable to them and just said, you know what? Here's where my struggle is, and I need you all to pray. And the prayers of my brothers and sisters when they gathered around, it started out, I'm just going to share that it started out kind of what you might expect. There's a certain way that Christians have learned how to pray. Mm-hmm. And when we start into our prayers, they sound a little bit memorized.
Yeah.
And so it started out that way. But then the pastor's wife quieted everyone down really gently. She wasn't trying to take over in any way. She said, let's just wait. Let's wait. Something's happening here. And she looked at me and she realized that what was going on in me was this, it was a healing that was happening in my heart and in my mind. And she wanted to make space for that and just let it happen without a whole lot of noise of memorized prayers. If you can kind of catch my meaning with that. And it was just the most beautiful moment where Holy Spirit spoke to me very personally, very directly. And then the pastor's wife looked at me and she said, I feel like he's telling me you need to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And when I tried to say it, I got so choked up with emotion, it wouldn't even come out of my throat.
Sometimes
because
we
that's
have
my
to,
heart's desire.
Well, and right? We have to present ourselves with innocence. There's no premeditation. And I believe you presented yourself that way. In James, the fourth chapter, Kimberly, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And he's talking to believers here. He goes into humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brothers and sisters. He who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges his brother or sister speaks against the law of God, which is the word of God here, and he judges the word. See, so here, when you're
That's
with
good.
Each other for a while, you don't become judges. If you're in a church service and somebody asks for prayer, you're kind of judging them. Well, what did they come into out of this world when you don't really know them? As you said, you didn't know a lot of the people that were there. You did have some friends, but others were just acquaintances. You get a presumptuous kind of a view of people. I don't know why, but we do. We do. And so we begin to judge instead of agree or pray in humility for our brother or sister who has a need. And I believe there's such purity in that. And what you did by presenting yourself vulnerable. And we don't like to present ourselves vulnerable. We want to have everything good and proper, and we're doing
well.
One
of the things that our pastor kept telling us over those 10 days is that church is like the biggest arena for people to walk in with their masks on.
Yes.
When somebody asks you how you're doing, you're, oh, praise the Lord, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Again, it's like this memorized chant that we say, and we're not even being real with each other.
That's right. Yes.
And the other thing that he kept reminding us is that church, all the other, any other businesses, any other entities in the world that experience opposition, they might circle their wagons, so to speak. They circle their wagons in order to form a protective barrier and then defend outwardly. But churches are like the only entity that he can think of. And I would love to hear from any of you who are listening to this. Just email me, Kimberly@freedomstreet.org. I would love to hear if you've got some other examples, but church seems to be the only entity that will circle their wagons. They do. They circle their wagons when something is happening and there's conflict going on, but they tend to shoot inwardly at each other and tear each other down.
Yes.
And that is not what God intended, but this is what tends to happen in churches. And humans overall have a really hard time being vulnerable and being transparent, but especially Christians. For some reason, Christians have a super difficult time being childlike and really letting people see their true colors. Mm-hmm. They have a hard time listening also. Mm-hmm. It's like our ears are just stopped up with assumptions and presumptions. I'm glad you brought that up, Mom, because presumption is just the biggest way. It's our biggest downfall. And only God can open our ears to hear him and to hear others.
Yes.
King David knew this to be true, and he's the one who cried out to God, oh, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Mm-hmm. Lord, let them not rule over me, and then I will be blameless. I will be acquitted of great transgression.
Yes.
And that's also in Psalm 19 that you brought up earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, it's a beautiful psalm. And a lot of people, Kimberly, are trying to, especially on social media today, they're trying to build themselves up and make themselves look good so that people are attracted to them, especially these dating apps. I think they're horrible. There's so much deception when people text and when they get into those social media sites where they're telling everybody how great they are and how perfect they are and what's going to transpire in their life. And it's just a wonderful promotion. And it could all be lies. And then people are looking for likes. Oh, he likes what I had to say. Well, was it true? Was it true? And a lot of times, Kimberly, it is not true. You're right. It's fake. It's false. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So some of the miracles that I got to witness, it started with me on that second day, but then day after day after day, every one of us became really vulnerable with each other. Now, if I were to imagine that before this time that we had together, that would produce panic in me. Like I would feel some anxiety over being in a group of people where that might require me to be vulnerable and just say, hey, this is where I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brings anxiety for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But this setting is definitely what Holy Spirit led us into. And Holy Spirit was so present with us. We had one person who had never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but wanted to be. She was so hungry for that, that she kept coming back to us day after day, after day, after day, really vulnerable, not seeing the fruits that she wanted to see until the last day. You know, to imagine going through that, coming to your friends and the people around you who might have expectations of what that's going to look like when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, what that's going to sound like, what the expectations are can bring so much anxiety. But she fought the good fight. And I really believe that's what the Lord means when he says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. There's some fear and trembling that happens to our flesh. Yes. When we are pressing forward into what we know to be truth from the Word of God.
Yes.
When we choose to believe the Word of God is true, we choose to believe Holy Spirit is going to give us gifts. If we seek the Lord, he will let us find him. And we keep pressing in, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. Even if you feel like you're failing, all of a sudden you can start feeling that anxiety in the flesh. You can feel like you've failed, but there is no failure. You just keep pressing in, keep pressing in. And oh, she was so delighted to end up with the infilling of the Holy Spirit that she was hoping for by the end of our time together. And another young man had never prayed out loud. He always prayed quietly to himself until he was with us in this setting. Mm-hmm. And he heard all of us praying out loud. And then he deeply desired to be praying that way as well.
Yes.
Oh, his prayers were as if they had come straight from heaven's throne room out of his mouth. This young man blessed us so mightily with his amazing prayers, and his prayers were just answered so quickly and easily. The miracles were just, I don't know, multiplied in ways that we never would have expected during this great time together. Mm-hmm. So yes, it was a 10-day miraculous waiting upon the Lord, and each one of us came away humbled and realizing that we don't have to strive like we thought we needed to in this life. Mm-hmm. That we could expect God to work as we learn to rest in him. And there's so much more. I know we're running, you know, closer to out of time here, but I want to talk about Hebrews 4 because it came up in my reading. I think it did in yours, too.
Yep. We're in
this
Hebrews.
This past week.
Yep.
Yes. And Hebrews, well, chapter 3 and chapter 4 focuses on the Lord inviting us into his rest. And chapter 4 tells us that God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest, is what God says. Mm-hmm. They shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had the good news preached to them failed to enter his rest because of disobedience. Then in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says he again fixes a certain day, today. In quotes, today. Today is the day. Yeah. Saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given those people rest by ushering them into that promised land, then God would not have spoken of another day after that.
Yes.
And so there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For you, there remains a rest for you. It is a supernatural rest that God is inviting you into today. Today is the day that he's inviting you.
That's right.
I just think that's so important for us to actually grab a hold of.
That's
and
right.
Accept the invitation.
Hebrews 3 starts. I love the beginning of this chapter because he's using Jesus, his son, as an example for us to follow. He says, be partakers of this heavenly calling and consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of your confession. And this is what you are going to use as your example. It's always fun, Kimberly, fun, I guess I'll put it in another, yes, a fun, to realize. realize there is a person that we can follow as an example, a divine example on how we can live our lives in this world. And it's Jesus. I mean, yes. He only ministered for 3 years, but his life is so full of obeying the Father. Every time he turned around, he was obeying the Father. And the Father was so pleased with him. And so I love the fact that he starts the very beginning of that third chapter saying, consider Jesus.
Yeah, just consider Jesus.
He's the one that's perfect in everything. Oh, I love it.
Right? And some of us might not know exactly how to consider him because he lived so long ago. But that's where we want to be reading the Word. We want to read what was written about him. And the more we read, the more we realize that he has made us in his image. Yes. And there is a longing inside of us to be like him.
That's right.
And as we keep pressing in deeper and deeper to become more like him, we are rewarded with a really wonderful revelation of who he is on a daily basis.
Yes.
Even in our dreams, in our visions, in our dreams, and what we're craving or desiring in this life, we just have to learn how to let him have his way. Do what he did with the Father, always listening for
the Father.
And obeying the Father.
I know.
Yes.
Just today, I had an example of someone. I had to get an order to someone. I called them and I was talking to a human being. And after a frustrating 15 or 20 minutes, it's like this inner voice said, go online. You don't need an inner being. All you need is me, a human being. All you need is me. And so I went in that online and Kimberly, lo and behold, it worked out so beautifully. Sometimes we depend on people that aren't our channel in which to get our answers. And
that's so true.
Oh, we got to go to Holy Spirit. He's the answer of everything. And we're going to find out more about this. Kimberly, I can't wait till tomorrow and hear more about your experience at your church, but also about today. Today is the day that you turn and you listen to God more than you do people outside in the world and on social media. So tomorrow we're going to talk more about this. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.